Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and today is going to be a great show because, you know, I try to teach every time I get on the air, because I believe this, that knowledge is power. And if you are out there right now and you're concerned about your retirement, or you're concerned about, you know, your finances just getting straight, maybe just getting out of debt, you know, the most important thing you can do is get educated. And in educating yourself, you will get confident. You'll go from worried to confident. And that's what I want to do. And I do that every week if you're tuning in right now. And so today's show is going to be all about retirement planning. And it's going to be some things like, you know, what you need to do. And I'm going to try to take it in a manner that if you want to write down some notes, you'll be able to put this to use, because there's steps that you take to get yourself prepared. Now, of course, you know, the first step is always to begin saving money as early as possible. The second part is we want to make sure that as we're accumulating money, we are, you know, getting our money out there to the point that we're getting some good returns on it. So we're not in a situation where, you know, we got our money sitting on the sideline. I see this all the time, bad allocation to retirement accounts like 401k, stuff like that. We'll get into that. And then as you're accumulating money, it's different than when you're trying to retire and preserve and develop a long-term income. And so we're going to get into those questions. Also, should you have long-term care insurance? What about life insurance when you're at retirement? What about paying your home off? Annuities, all the different things, investment choices, allocation, Social Security, what your kids would like for you to tell them so they can help you. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go, and this will be a series of shows that we're going to get into, but I want to give you some just starting points, retirement recommendations. The first thing is this. If you haven't paid off the consumer debt, that's something you really need to go ahead and do. And I see this a lot of times, have people come in, and I'll give you some examples of it, where people are sitting with car payments and credit cards and they got money sitting in the bank. And so, you know, one of the things that happens is we think for some reason that we feel better if we have, you know, $20,000, $30,000 in the bank that's getting, you know, 1% or less. We would rather have that than to go ahead and pay off something that we're paying a higher interest, credit card debt or car payment, stuff like that. So we want to get our consumer debt paid off. Just go ahead and pay it off, be done with it, keep you a little bit of cash liquid. But in most cases, if you pay your credit cards off and you pay your car off, you can always get money again if you had to on those things. So I encourage you to start looking at, if you know, don't go in debt for stuff like that. That's bad debt. If you have that, I want to get you on a budget, because you sure got to be more aware of your budget when you retire than prior to retirement. So if you're not working a budget and you're retiring, then what I would tell you right now is you got to get on that, because most people, when they retire, they end up with less income. Very few people end up having their income go up. So we want to make sure of that. I'm not sure about paying your home off. You know, I'm one of those guys that, you know, I gather that when you pay your home off, you reduce your monthly outgo. But in many cases, paying the home off, I don't recommend that. And the reason is that rates are so low that you may not want to do that. And so these are things that you got to consider. You got to consider your life insurance needs. And why do you consider life insurance needs? Because in many cases, your needs have gone down. Kids are grown, debts are paid, and you've got some policies out there that you really don't need. But in other instances, if you have pensions and you've taken those pensions, and the pension is a life annuity, meaning that it pays only for your life, you may want to continue to keep some coverage going like that. So we need to consider those kind of things. So these are little notes you can take: consumer debt, should I pay my house off, get on a budget, should I refinance my higher rate mortgage. That might be a better way of doing it. You know, there's nothing wrong with at 3% interest, whatever the rates are, 3-4%, having a mortgage. I see nothing wrong at all with that. Matter of fact, I'm okay with some people moving into a reverse mortgage, which we can consider that. What about long-term care insurance? We need to think about that. If you go into the nursing home or even assisted living, you want to make sure that you're squared away when it comes to those kind of things. So these are the different retirement recommendations that we need to consider. Should we get some of our money invested in things that have some guarantees to it? That's where the annuity side comes in. So we have different areas of concern that we need to come up with. But here's kind of a rule of thumb of what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to add up your income and project out. So let's say you're getting ready to retire and you're trying to determine if you can retire. You have people come in all the time and they're saying, I want to quit right now. And I'm like, well, that's fine. You can quit right now. This is how much money you're going to get off your investments plus your Social Security. So they come in and they say, well, I've got, you know, I'm getting $1,500. Another one's getting $1,300. Got $2,800 a month coming in. And then we've got $300,000 of money that we can invest. And maybe our house is paid off, something like that. You say, well, what is that going to mean? Well, rule of thumb is this. I don't recommend more than 4% as a withdrawal plan. So for every 100,000, that means you can pull 4,000 a year. So these, if your situation was that, you had 2,800 a month coming in on your Social Security, and then you have 300,000 at 4%, that's $1,000 a month. So now you're at $3,800 a month. All right. That's kind of the rule of thumb. Another rule of thumb is you take 20 times your income, and that will give you a rule of thumb on how much money you need. So at 4%, it's 25 times your income. At 5%, it's 20 times your income. Now, let me back that out. What that means is if you had $1 million and you went on the mindset of 5%, you could pull 50 grand a year off. Now, there's been studies done, and we can go back in time. And if you have a 50-50 portfolio of stocks and bonds, you've never run out of money at 4%. There have been 5% times over a 30-year period that you would have run out of money. So what we're going to do today is we're going to delve into how to set your retirement plan up. We're going to go into all of the things that I talk to people about, and I'm going to give you some examples of people that they come in and they meet with me and some of the recommendations that I've been able to give. And so I hope today is going to be very beneficial to you. If you're at or near retirement, this is going to be an important series of shows. That's what I do, is I help people get educated with their money, and we implement plans. And so stick with me. We're going to get started right after this on determining your financial independence number. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and this is the first of a series of shows called All About Retirement Planning, where we're going to get into all of these different things that you have to worry about and think about when it comes to retirement planning. And the first step is that we need to have a goal, and that goal is the financial independence number. And when I talk about a financial independence number, it's the number or the amount of money you'll need to accumulate so that someday you can live off that money for the rest of your life, including inflation, and never worry about having to go back to work. So what we do is, you know, throughout our lifetime, we get used to a certain lifestyle. Hopefully that lifestyle is a lifestyle that you live well enough that you enjoy what you get to do. But at the same time, 10 or 15% of your money is set aside toward quitting one day. Now, why is it so important that you have to save early and save as much as possible? Because just think about this. We work 8 hours a day, but we spend money 24 hours a day. All right, so a typical person, they go to work 8 hours a day, but we spend money 24 hours a day. Another thing, you know, my dad used to say, you got to always get enough money set aside that you make money while you sleep. And the reason is that you spend money while you sleep. And people don't think about that, but, you know, our bills go on 24 hours a day, our house payment. So we're constantly earning money, but we're constantly spending money. So the first thing we have to recognize is this. If we're going to work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, but we're paying for 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, then that in itself is a big chore for that 8 hour day, work day. And then if we say to ourselves, well, we want to retire after working, you know, 30 years and, or that would be early. And then we want to turn around and we want to not work for another 30 years. So here's what we're doing. We're putting ourselves in a position where it should be very difficult. You got to pay close attention because you're working 30 years, 8 hours a day, and living 60 years, 24 hours a day. How about that? You know, out at retirement. And so including your retirement and living up until that time. So you need to know your financial independence number, what it's going to take. So let me give you an example. So let's say today you came up with a plan and you said, I want $100,000 in today's dollars and you're getting started. Then what we're going to do is we're going to apply inflation to it. Now, to give you some idea about inflation, over the last 20 years, you would need that $100,000 to keep you squared up with your purchasing power. 20 years from now, you need $151,000. So now you need $151,000 20 years from now. If you go on out there, you're going to need more than that. So let's just take and say we're retiring today. We've got to do that. All right. So let me give you an example right now. If you have $100,000, and you were going to retire, then your number, all right, is going to be about 16 to 20 times that number. So at 20 times that number, you would need about $2 million saved in order to pull off that 100 grand a year. Now, if you do that, that means you're pulling 5%. And we hope that we're going to get a little better return than that over a long period of time to keep us up with inflation. So not only do we pull that money 4 to 5%, but at the same time, we have a little bit of growth. So we end up with that. So I'm going to give you a number. Let's say you're getting started and you've got 30 years to retirement and you wanted that 100 grand. Well, now you need 243,000. 30 years later. So we're putting these numbers together. Now, how do you calculate that? Well, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. The first thing you can do is you can do it on your own, get a compound interest calculator, and you throw some numbers at it. You say, well, I'm 45 years old, and I want to retire in 20 years, and I'm expecting inflation to be 3%. So I'm going to put a little calculator together, and it says, well, at 3% inflation, then I'm going to need this much. So I put it in my little compound interest calculator, and I do that. And it tells me I need $170,000 to get $100,000 a year. So then I come back, and I say, well, I need $170,000, and I take that and multiply that maybe by 20, and that would give me $3.4 million. I take $3.4 million, and I say, well, if I'm pulling off 4%, 5%, this is going to pay me my income back, and now I have some idea what I need. That's my financial independence number. So it might be $100,000. You know, 20 years from now, you're going to need $2.5 million, whatever that number is. Then once we have that number, we then back that out. We say, well, I have this much money set aside already, and I'm expecting this kind of return, 8, 9, 10%, whatever you come up with, because you have it allocated correctly. And then that's going to leave me a deficit, and I need to set aside $800 a month. All right, great. So now what happens is you're sitting there, you're 45, you have the calculation to where you know what you need to do. That's important. Step number one is you got to have a goal. You got to have a financial independence number. You got to know how much you need to be saving. And guys, if you're out there and you don't know this number, then you would have to agree with me that it's pure luck if you actually get where you need to be. And so what I do with people to start with is I talk to them and I say, now let's look at what you need to retire on. What is realistic, including your Social Security, that you would want to have every single year, keeping up with inflation, what I need. And we come up with that number. So I do that. I pull out my, you know, I've got a program and I say, what do you have? What do you want? All right, here's what you need to save. We're going to assume that we're going to put it at this type of thing. And so that's the starting point. We come up with that. Then what we do is we start looking at all of the different ways that we can save money and accumulate money. But one of the things that you always got to look at when it comes to retirement planning is the stage in life you're at. So when you're young and you have a lot of time left, then you've got a long-term window. So with that, you can be way more aggressive in your approach to saving money. You can be in growth funds. You can do things like that that allow you to have a much greater opportunity for growth. You're not real concerned about the market going down. Matter of fact, if you've got a long-term plan in place, 10, 20 years out there, you almost want the market to go down for a while. And then that way you can buy in monthly and end up maxing out your 401k at a down market. I mean, that's great, because with the idea that over time you're going to end up accumulating money. Now, as you get nearer to retirement, we start looking and we say, well, what stage in life are we? So let's say that you're 55 years old and you're expected to work 10 more years and you've accumulated $300,000. You're 55. And you start looking at your income and you say, well, I'm putting aside, $1,000 a month right now into my 401k, including all my matches, and I got 10 years left. So I'm going to put 10 years of $12,000 a year in. So over the next 10 years, my $120,000 that I invest is going to grow to whatever it's going to grow to. So what's the most important aspect of my retirement plan right now? Well, it's the $300,000 I've already accumulated. So here's how I advise people. I'm like, let's back it down a tad on the money you've got. Let's don't put ourselves, fully at risk. Let's tone it back a little bit. And what I mean by toning it back a little bit, we still have a lot of stock market exposure, but we don't have 100%. We might have 60, 70%, something like that. And so what that does is that takes a little of the back end off the table. And then what we do is we also take some of the downside off the table. And so what we look at, we say, well, that $300,000, we would love to double it over the next 10 years. That means 7%. So that's $600,000. Then on the money that I'm investing on a monthly basis, I can be a little bit more aggressive with that because, if the market goes down, I want to buy into the market going down and things like that. And so what we're going to do is we start making a determination, are we in the accumulation business or this preservation business? If the majority of your retirement plan is coming from the money you've already saved, we need to go into the preservation business of investing. If what you're investing monthly is the most important thing to it, you're still in the accumulation stage. And so we're going to continue down this path on retirement plans, how to take advantage of that. The idea today is to tell you all about retirement planning. And this is going to be a three-part show, maybe more than that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymountlockjr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999. 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and today's show, if you're just tuning in, is all about retirement planning, and we're talking about the first step, which is the accumulation stage and the preservation stage, understanding where you're at and understanding your financial independence number. You know, the most important thing you can do is have a goal, a clear goal, and we call it a GPS, and it's the goal, the plan, the schedule. So what we do is we have a goal, and we say, this is what we want to do. We want this much money per year, do-nothing money when we retire. We've got that number, and we inflate it to the date and in which you're going to retire. We give an estimate of inflation. We come up with a number. And then from there, we take and we say, well, where are we at now? And we come up with an investment return rate that we expect that we think we can get. And we put that in and we say, well, we've got this much money already. We need to be at this number. That number is 15 or 20 times your income. So 100 grand a year is $2 million. That's our number. We inflate the $2 million out and we come up with a number that it needs to be however many years out. If we have an inflation rate, and we're estimating, of course, it's not perfect. And we come up, we say, well, we need $3 million bucks. That's what we need. $3 million. We have this much set aside already, and we have 20 years to accumulate the rest. This amount of money is going to grow to this. This is our shortfall. That's the monthly amount of income that we need to be saving. And we now have a plan. We have a plan. We have a goal, what we want to do. We have a plan, and we put a schedule to it and a goal that has a deadline to it. And then what we do is we work on growing our income, and by growing our income, that would allow us to accumulate even more money over and above our projected amount of money we need to save. And then once we do that, we can start knocking off years of retirement. In other words, rather than 65, we're at 63 and we're at 60 or whatever. And then who knows, you may hit a windfall, something like that, and now you're there. In the meantime, we need to always be looking at our asset allocation. And so I'm going to give you some examples of things that I tell people when it comes to asset allocation. Now, I want to make sure that, you know, when you're listening to a show like this, what I do is I give you a broad stroke. This is not a specific stroke for you. I have had someone come in just recently and they just wanted to pay their house off. And it was very important to them that they paid their house off. Now, I wouldn't recommend they pay their house off. I wouldn't recommend you take money that you're, got sitting there that you can invest and do better and go pay off a 3% loan. No, I wouldn't do that. I did have somebody come in just recently and they owed $40,000 on their house, and they had about $200 something thousand in their 401k. And they were going to take it out. They're 55 years old, and they were like, I know you're not going to like what I'm telling you, but I'm going to take that money out of my 401k, and I'm going to pay my house off. And I'm like, no, we got to talk about that. We're not going to do that, because to get that 40 out, you're going to have to pull 60. And so now you're going to take $60,000 to pay off $40,000 because you got to pay your taxes on it and your penalty. And then you're going to take money out of something that's been doing well in order to pay off 3%. Nah, we're not doing that. You get that? We're not doing that. Yet I have people that will go do that. They'll go blow through their retirement plan to pay their house off because they got some information that that was a good idea. No. It's a bad idea. Paying your home off, especially like that, bad idea. Don't buy into that. That is bad. So I have people do that. So I talk to them. But then occasionally I have somebody that's got a lot of money and they just want to do it. I don't agree with it. But you know what? They do it. And that's the difference in meeting with somebody and working with them to help them reach their goals. But at the same time, do things that they feel good about, so they want to do it. Now, I always remind people, if you have money sitting there and you have a mortgage and you're capable of paying the house off, you know what? In essence, the house is paid off. You just have decided that it would be a better idea to not pay down 3% money and keep money growing. So think of it that way. So I don't have I want to pay my house off. Well, just have the money sitting in investments, and at any given moment, you can always pay your house off. Just understand that chances are, when we're in the lowest interest rate environment that we've been, that you're probably going to do better by not putting it and paying down a 3% loan, that kind of thing. So anyway, when we go into retirement recommendations, let me give you some good ideas. Okay, so for people nearing retirement, less than 10 years, you've got a good nest egg. You might consider some asset allocation that might reflect maybe 70% stock-bond ratio. Is that everybody? No. But that's kind of the direction I go when you've accumulated some money. And the reason I do that is that I know that over a long period of time, the stock market's probably going to outperform the bond market. It always has, especially in these environments. But the idea behind putting money into a bond fund or into a fund that's got 30% in it, then what they're doing is they're really just saying, look, here's 30%. We're not getting anything out of it at these rates. Rates are so low. You're getting very little on it. We're going to just try to preserve and make sure that if the market takes a big tank, then we've only got 30%, 70% of the money rather than 100%. So what happens is when you're at or near retirement, you might want to consider that. Now, when you're at retirement, all right, I move it down even more. I move it down to 50 to 60%. And the reason for that, there's some math in withdrawal plans. So if you start withdrawing money and the money is more volatile and we have some down markets, then you are effectively selling shares that are depressed. And so that's the reasoning behind not having all your money in that. There's a lot of different ideas on how to do that. And the fund managers do this. But one of the first things that I would do if you're out there at or near retirement is I would examine my 401ks. Most of the people's money nowadays are sitting in 401ks, and it's amazing to me how little that people look at it. They're confused. I think a lot of it has to do with when companies set these things up, they don't do proper education of the employees, even though they're supposed to. They don't do that. I know when I set up 401ks for companies, we do financial workshops to where we educate and teach people not only about their 401k, but also about their finances. And so it's just so important. And, you're changing jobs all the time. If you've got 401ks from previous employers, they're sitting out there unmanaged in most cases. You don't know what they're doing, that kind of thing. That's where you roll those into an IRA, have your own account, and then you get to pull everything together. The biggest challenge I see with having 401k separated, one current, two from previous jobs, stuff like that, is there's really very little asset allocation. And in many cases, you're paying for the same or buying the same companies. There's not a lot of allocation going on in there. So anyway, but when you get closer to retirement, we're going to do things like that. People ask me, and they say, you know, they've got one of these things as a choice for me called a target date fund or an asset, you know, it's a fund based on the year in which you're going to retire. What do you think about that? Well, here's my take on it. Those funds have a lot of value to them. They're kind of the don't think about it and pick my date. And that's better than not doing anything. Now, one of the things that I've found with most of the target date funds, they're very conservative for that age. So if they tell you, let's say you got 20 years from now, that might be a 2040 target, you know, I might be a little bit more aggressive. And the way you become more aggressive with those is you go and you choose a 2050 rather than a 2040. Now, I preface this because you need to make sure that someone or yourself, and I say someone helps you, but you need to get a grip on your on what your risk tolerance is. Really understand when you're buying into one of these funds, do you really know what you're getting into? Because this is your life savings. This is the money that you're going to live on when you can't work anymore. And so make sure that you know what you're doing. So we're going to go into some of the different choices for 401k options that you might want to pick. We're going to continue down this path of retirement plan recommendations. And so stick with me. When we get back, I'm going to help you pick your 401k. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. Hey, we're back, Roy Matlock Jr., and today's show, and it's going to continue on because I can talk about this for forever and ever. You know, it's funny, people, they tell me, they say, man, you sure can talk, and I sure can talk when it comes to this stuff because I've been doing this for 35 years, and you know, I can sit down with someone and they can bring their stuff in, and just really quickly I can take a look and say, here's where you're at, and we need to rearrange and get you over here and get you your finances to where when you quit working, then your only job is to make sure that we manage your pulls, how much you pull out, and then after that, enjoy life. I mean, isn't that what you want one day, to get to a point where you can say, I'm over it. I'm done with it. It's fixed. I don't worry about that. All I want to do is enjoy my life. And the challenge we run into is I run into people all the time that, you know, they're retired and they're worried. And the reason they're worried is they're not educated. And so I would encourage you as always, listen to some of these prior shows. I will help you get educated and confident as it comes to your money. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go into taking a look at what type of funds that we might go into when it comes to our 401k. But first thing I want to do is kind of explain some, you know, and for some of you may say, hang on, this is really too basic. But, you know, most people don't really study their finances. You know, I had a doctor tell me not too long ago, he says, you know, I kind of handle it on my own. And I said, I got you. I understand you. You know, I diagnose myself too. You know, I just Google it when I get sick. And, you know, I spend a couple minutes here and there, and then I prescribe what I need in order to get well. Nobody does that. All right. And the fact of the matter is that most of us, we do go get on Google and we think, man, if we get on Google, we can figure out what's wrong with us or we can figure it all out. No, it takes more than that. And so what you have to do, if you want to manage it yourself, you got to put some time into it. And realistically, part of managing your money is having a trusted advisor, somebody that can help you take you off the cliff when you're getting ready to jump, when you ought to be hanging tight and holding on. And so first thing you got to recognize is that to make money, you have to bypass the middleman. The middleman is the banks and insurance companies. The banks and insurance companies are not designed for you to get ahead. The banks and insurance companies are a way you can insure against loss. For instance, if you go to the bank and you put your money into the bank's got FDIC insurance, so that's why they are there. So if I'm going to go put together a retirement plan and I know that I'm paying a bunch of money for insurance and I pay a bunch of money in the fact that it's not invested, then it's going to be hard for me to get ahead. And so we want to bypass the middleman and we want to have some ownership in the bank. And how would we have ownership in the bank? We would own stock in the bank. Now, I'm not recommending you buy individual stock anywhere, but what it just basically reminds people that how does the bank make money? Well, the bank makes money by borrowing it at a low rate, reinvesting it by loaning it out to other people at a high rate. The difference is their profit minus their overhead. And over a period of time, the banks have done pretty good. So I would rather have my money invested in a consortium of banks and other companies that do well than I would to just loan it to the bank. And so then when we go in, we say, well, where can we put our 401k? Well, we've got, for the most part, it's going to be one of two places. You're going to have money market, our mutual funds that go from money market, meaning cash, bond funds, or stock funds, and then we may have index funds. And index funds are a little bit different in the way that they do. The difference in an index fund and a typical mutual fund is an index fund is not managed and a mutual fund is managed. And we'll get into that as we go through this. So let's say you're young and you're getting started and you open up your 401k. So what we're going to do is we're going to look and we say, well, where would we put that money? Well, here's what I like to tell people. You have growth, growth and income, aggressive growth, and international funds. You're going to have choices like that. What is the a growth fund? That might be a mid-sized company. A growth and income fund would be a large company. And if we were to name some large companies, that might be Walmart or something like that, or Exxon that pay dividends. Then we might go and have a mid-sized company. They're going to be Starbucks and things like that, what they are called growth funds. And then we have aggressive growth. Those are the Googles of tomorrow. Then we have the international funds, which invest outside the United States. So you may be given choices like that. And so what does a young person do? I tell them, hey, you're safe if you put 25% across the board. You're good. 25 in small, medium, large, and international, you can do that. If you even wanted to go even more aggressive, you could do that. But the bottom line is diversify yourself, but put it out there and get it going. So then as you get older, I tell people that maybe we're going to back it down a little and we're going to add what's called a balance fund in there. So now rather than having four types of funds, we're going to have five types of funds. A balance fund will have some bonds in it. And so now we are still, you know, in the accumulation stage. As we get nearer to retirement, we're going to start backing it off. As I said earlier, when you're 55 years old, you're probably going to start backing it down to where you might have 30% in bonds. When you get to retirement age, getting ready to retire within 5 years, you might have 40%. maybe even 50%, depending on your risk tolerance. So what happens is inside of your 401k or your 403b, you're going to have all these options. There's also going to be things called index funds. So let me give an example. The number one index fund is going to be the S&P 500 index. What do I think about index funds? I'm not real sold on index funds, especially when the stock market is already done very well. And I'm going to give you the difference now in an index fund versus, say, a professionally managed fund. So here's what happens. An index fund is going to weight your investments based on the market cap of maybe the S&P 500. So let me give you an example. If Facebook is one of those stocks and it represents 3% of the S&P 500, then you're going to have your money in Facebook, it's going to be 3%. And then you have another one that it's going to be a little bit, you know, maybe it doesn't represent that much. And so what happens is the S&P 500, because of the way the market caps work, is very limited in diversification. And in many cases, after big run-ups in the stock market, the majority of the money that's being invested is in a few stocks that have done the best. Well, what's the difference in a mutual fund that manages money? Well, what they do is they pick and choose, and they may say, you know, some of those companies are already appreciated big time, so we're going to back down on that, and we're going to go put our money somewhere else that would have more chance for appreciation. And, you know, I know the benefits of an index fund are low cost, and the benefits of a well-run professionally managed mutual fund is that they should be less risk involved in the market. Not every time, but that should be the goal. So when you buy into things like this, you need to get educated. So the way you get educated is you keep, you know, listening to things like this, and then you're moving on the direction of getting yourself, you know, fixed once and for all. And I always tell that, get your finances fixed once and for all. Go from being a worried person, unknowing what to do, to being confident because you took some time and you did it. If you're listening right now, this is what's happening. I run into people all the time that they tell me they listen, they love the show, they're learning, and that's what my goal is. And so what we're doing now is we're trying to choose, you know, our retirement plans. You know, so as you're younger, you're going to be more aggressive. As you're older, you're going to be more conservative. And then once you start get out to retirement, what you're going to do is maybe consider some other things. So let me throw some things at you. You hear this all the time, an annuity. What is an annuity? Well, what an annuity was initially, the what's called fixed annuities, they are the opposite of life insurance. So the way an annuity would work is you'd say, here's $100,000, pay me $1,000 a month for as long as I live. And the insurance company would take your money and they would annuitize it. And in annuitizing it, they would give you an income for life. But if you died the first month and you received $1,000, you paid $100,000 for $1,000. So annuitization, I never was keen on that. But then again, if you buy life insurance and you pay $100 and they pay you $100,000 claim and you only paid 1 month and you died, then it's the same. It's just the opposite. So that's what annuitization is. And so insurance companies decided, hey, we want in on this retirement planning boom, where all the baby boomers are at. We want to get some of that money. So they started coming out with some different things where you didn't have to annuitize it, but you could get some lifetime income guarantees. And if there were money left over from those, you could in turn pass that on to your kids. And that falls in the category of different annuities, like an indexed annuity. There are things called structured annuities, or we could call them buffer annuities, where they say, you know, put it in the market. And if the market goes down over the next 6 years, we'll insure 20% of it, of your losses. All right, you get so much on the upside and the downside, we insure 20%. So a lot of people are worried about losing their money. With variable annuities, that's where they put it in the stock market. And the market has no guarantees, but at the same time, it has the upside, and then it's as well as lifetime income guarantees. So when you get to retirement, what are the kind of deals that you're going to be presented? Well, you're going to be presented things like, you know, the stock market's going down and you're worried, and they push you into an indexed annuity. Don't do that. I mean, you got to be sure before you put that. Very high fees, very bad surrender charges in most cases. However, for some people, if you're sitting in the bank and you're worried to death, then there's an option. The structured annuities, I think, have a lot of merit to it, and the variable annuities do. And what do the variable annuities do? Well, what they do is they give you lifetime income guarantees, and because you can put it into different investment choices, it gives you an opportunity to have some inflation protection. So when you retire, what you want to do is sit down and ask yourself, do I want to go full-scale uninsured? And that would be just in a mutual fund that has no income guarantees on it. Or do I want to insure it? And if I insure it, what I'm doing is I'm buying some lifetime income guarantees, or I'm buying some principal guarantees. And that's where you want to just be sure that you know what you're getting into. There's annuities have a place for your retirement, but they also have negatives that you need to know about. And then once you do that, you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, this is great. So what I want to do is I'm going to close out today's show, and we're going to finish with some things that we'll be talking about on next show that comes up, and that's going to be all the different risk that run into. We got market risks, inflation risk, we have probate risk, and we have taxation risk. I'm going to get into that. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I want to encourage you, listen to the podcast, visit RoyMatlockJr.com for all our prior shows, and I'll talk to you next week.